Keep your eyes on those tall days.
The pasuk says, "Vahi Esav," when Vayikdor Anorim, the lads grew up. Vahi Esav ishi de'atzayid. Esav was a man who knew how to hunt. Ishode. He was a man of the field. V'yakov ishtom. Yoshev aholim. Yaakov was a person who sat and learned. My Rebbe, Rebbe Baruch Finkel, he once asked, he said, we know if we look at Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov was what Chazal tell us was the Bechir Sheva Ovois. He was the chosen one of the three Ovois. He reached tremendous madrigas. He was a Mekovel Leshchina. He was the Regal Shlishi. He got to tremendous heights. The Torah describes him as an Ishtom Yoshev Aholim. On the other hand, Esav, in contrast, the terrible Averis, Chazal tell us Esav was Mezane. He used to snatch people's wives. He was a Retzeach. It's all learnt out of Psukim. And here the Torah seems to say much less about Yaakov, much less about Esav. Yaakov is described as an Ishtom Yoshev Aholim, not really what he was. He got to much, much more. And in contrast, Esav, who was a terrible Baal Aveira, is described as a Batlan, an Ish Sodeh, Odom Bottle, as Rashi says, Kmashmoy Odom Bottle. Why doesn't the Torah say a much greater contrast between Yaakov and Esav? So he said that the Torah is not telling you what they were. The Torah is telling you the Shoyrish. The Torah is telling you the roots of how they got to what they were. Yes, Yaakov reached tremendous madrigas. He was, like we said, he was the Omad HaTaira. He was the regular Revi. He was a Novi. But where did it all come from? It came from the fact that he was an Ishtom Yoshev Aholim. It came from the fact that he was a person who sat to learn. Torah brings all the madrigas. The Rambam says a person becomes a Novi. The first thing is he's got to be a Talmud Chacham. So from being an Ishtom Yoshev Aholim, that's how he became to the great madriga that he became. On the other hand, what was the shoresh of Esav's tremendous decline? How did Esav become the Baal Aveira that he was? He became the Baal Aveira that he was from the fact that he was an Ish Batal. Batala, like the Rambam says, Ein machsheves harayis miskaberes, the machshav of znus can only happen b'lei ponim in achochma, because he was an Ish Batal. That's what brought him to do all these Aveiras. So the Torah is telling us the Shoresh of Yaakov and Esav. The Shoresh of Yaakov and Esav is he was a person who was Yoshev Aholim, and Leumas Esav, who is Ishya Deesai Deshodeh, he was a Batlan. Chaim Shulevitz says famously, he asks a question. He says, how could Yaakovina sell the Bechorah? How could Yaakovina buy the Bechorah for Nezid Adashim, for a plate of lentil soup? Esav sold the Bechorah. The Bechorah is worth so, so much more than a Nezid Adashim. And we know if you sell something for much less than it's worth, that's why no, the Mechira shouldn't be chal at all. Same question Reb Chaim asks. The Pasuk says, "Mashalim nesonim el panav la'avidam," the Rebbein Shalom punishes Rishoyim, and even if they do good, even if they do sometimes a mitzvah or two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays them off in Olam Hazeh. Reb Chaim Shulevitz says, that's not really fair, because we know Schar Mitzvah V'hai Al Malekah, the Schar of every Mitzvah is worth much, much more than anybody can receive in Olam Hazeh. Is it fair to pay off the Rishoyim in Olam Hazeh for the Mitzvahs that they've done? They deserve Olam Habah. Mitzvah is worth the currency of Olam Habah. How can a Kodesh Baruch Hu pay them in Olam Hazeh? So, Chaim Shulevitz says famously that the Mitzvah is worth whatever a person makes of it. However much a person values a Mitzvah, that's how much it's worth. When Esav sold the Bechorah, he sold it for Nezid Adashim, and the Mechira was Chal. Why was the Mechira Chal? Because that's Be'emes. In truth, that's what Esav valued the Bechorah as. So he valued the Bechorah as a Nezid Adashim. He sold it for Nezid Adashim, so the Mechira was Chal. That's how much its value was to him. The Rishonim who do mitzvahs, even if they do mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can pay them in Olam Hazeh, because the value of the mitzvah depends on how much they're married, how much they estimate, how much it is in their eyes, and since in their eyes they spent most of their life doing Averus and they didn't really appreciate the value of the mitzvah, so they deserve to be paid off, they can be paid off in Olam Hazeh. There's a beautiful Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer says that Boaz said to Rus, Yishanam Hashem Pa'olei, Chasim Askortech Shleima, Hashem should pay for your work, Chasim Askortech Shleima, and your wages should be complete. Says the Hafla, What were the two things? Yisham Hashem Pa'olei Chasim Askorotech Shleima. So he says the same idea that since mitzvahs, since a person is, person's schar depends on how much he's marich, how much he values the mitzvah, how much was Rus, how much did Rus value the mitzvahs at? We know that Rus gave up a life of being a princess. She had Oil Mazet, she was the daughter of the king, and she was brought up on the lap of luxury. She had everything she needed. She gave all of that up to go and live. She was happy, she was prepared to live with Naomi, although she thought it meant living a life of poverty, giving the whole of Oil Mazet away just to be a Yidina, to be Megaya, and to join Klal Yisrael. Says Nafla, like we're saying, similar to Reb Chaim Shulevitz says, how much is the schar for a mitzvah? The schar for a mitzvah is how much you value it. How much did Rus value the mitzvahs at? She valued the mitzvahs, we know, more than the whole Oil Mazet, because she gave away the whole Oil Mazet to do mitzvahs. Therefore, said the Boyas to Rus, Yishalem Hashem Pa'aleich, Hashem should pay Pa'aleich, you get for your schar for your polis like everybody gets. But since you gave everything up, Usim Askortech Shleima, you'll get the full marks, you'll get the full wages, Usim Askortech Shleima, because for you, your value of the mitzvahs is the whole Oil Mazet, so Usim Askortech Shleima. Once I heard a story from the Kedush Levi, the Baditshava. Apparently, one Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah, he called one of his Gaboim and he sent him to the local Poritz, and he says he wants his Gabba to find out. The Poritz recently had bought a new dog. He'd imported a dog from somewhere, a very special dog, and he sent this Gabba to find out how much the Poritz paid for the dog. The Gabba was, of course, very surprised why this is important before Ne'ilah, but he did what the Rebbe told him. He went to the Poritz told him how much it cost. He came back, he whispered the sum in the Poritz's ear. The Poritz said, we can see guy, and we can daven, go and daven Ne'ilah. So after Havdalah, they went to the Poritz and they asked him, they went to the Baditshev and they asked him, why was it so important to know how much the Poritz paid for his dog before Ne'ilah? So he said, a few months ago, there was a Yid, that's what was very commonplace in those days, there was a Yid who was never arrested, they trumped up some charges against him, they threw him in prison, and they demanded a very large sum to redeem this Yid, Pidyon Shvuyim. So the Yidin tried and tried, as they always did, and they made a collection, everybody gave what they could, more than they could, and they tried to put together the money which the governor was demanding for the ransom of this Yid. So after working on it a few days, they saw they're still missing, and they're not going to get to their target. They tried again and squeezed more money. Yidin didn't have money, and they weren't getting what they needed. Somebody had this idea. He said, you know what, the Poritz is a good-hearted man, he's a wealthy man. He knows us, we've got good relationships with him, so let's go and ask the Poritz, maybe the Poritz will give a donation. They went to the Poritz and they told him Neruch about this poor Yid languishing in jail, and the Poritz, he gave a nice donation, he gave a large sum of money towards the cause. So the Baditshva said he wasn't sure if it would be a kitruk. The Yidin will be accused, if even the Poritz, he's non-Jewish, and he's giving such a nice sum to Pidyon Shvuyim, so that could be a kitruk, that could be, comes to Yom Kippur, Yidin, need a akitior, this could be a kitruk for the Yidin. The Poritz gives away so much money, does he value the mitzvah of tzedakah as such a choshva mitzvah that he can give such a sum of money towards Pidyon Shvuyim? So he sent the Gabba, find out how much the Poritz paid for his dog. If he paid a very lot of money for his dog, that means he's got a lot of money and he doesn't value the Yid more than he values buying a new dog. He doesn't value human life, and that's why he gave so much money. He's got a lot of money, he's a generous person, he's a kind-hearted person. It's not because he's marich, the Indian of giving tzedakah. If he didn't pay a lot of money, so maybe the kitruk's in place. He said how much he paid for his dog. He said, okay, it's not because the Poritz has a value for the mitzvah of tzedakah. It's because he doesn't have value for money. That's why he gave this money. So Akoponim, our schar for the mitzvahs depends on how much we marich them, how much we value the mitzvahs. Two people can do the same mitzvah. A person who realizes the true value, there's nothing greater than doing the right mitzvah at the right time, gets the full schar. Simaskote Shlema. The Baron Kotel actually contrasts Yaakov Avinu to Esav. Esav was the one who was Vayivaz Esav Esabchaira. He didn't realize, he had no harocha at all. He had no value at all for Bechaira, for the tremendous chus of Bechaira. In contrast, he says, Yaakov Avinu, who was careful with money, we know him in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu goes back for the Pachim Tanim, he goes back for the small jugs. Yaakov Avinu knew, the Gemara says in Chulin, Tzadikim Chavim Valeim Amoinam, he knew that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him was for a tachlis. He realized the value of Pachim Tanim. The same Yaakov Avinu, says Rav Aaron Kotler, the Pasuk says that he told Yosef HaTzadik, Bekivri Ashekarisili, he said, I want you to bury me in the kether, which Ashekarisili, literally, which I dug for myself. And Chazal say that Karisi also has another translation. Karisi can also mean Miloshen Kri, Miloshen a heap. Yaakov Avinu says, I took all the money which I made in Lavan's house, the whole story of the sheep, the Akudim, the Kudim. He took all their money, he said he made it into a big heap, and he gave it all away for his chelik in Maros HaMachpelah, to buy from Esav. He gave it all to Esav to buy his chelik in Maros HaMachpelah. The Pirkei Rav Lezer says he gave away all the money he got from Yitzchak. Yitzchak was a phenomenally wealthy person, like we see in this week's parasha. He gave away all the money to buy his to make sure to buy out Esav's part in Maros HaMachpelah. Baruch Kotler says, why did he spend so much money? He was the one, he knew the value of money. He was careful of Pachim Tanim. He realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him money is for a tachlis. And he gave away so much money, a heap of money. He gave away just to buy out Esav in Maros HaMachpelah. He says, maybe, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Zayin, there's an issa to bury a tzaddik next to a rasha. So because he didn't want Esav to be buried there, because it's an issur to bury it sitting next to a rasha, it was worthwhile giving away all this money. And he knew what the value of money was, and he gave away all this money. So that was Yaakov's appreciation for Ruchnias. Whereas Esav could sell Bechaira for a plate for Nazid Adashim, Yaakov Avinu, he could give away so much money, which he valued, just not to be over, he says, Ulai, just not to be over this issur. That was the contrast of Yaakov and Esav. Right.
Yeah, I think that's why it says afterwards, you versus Bechara, that even it wasn't really for life. He sold it because he didn't
have much,
but you might have thought that Ramasi did sell it because he was about to die. So Ramasi, we could have said, actually, he did value Bechara very much.
Right, so Torah says, you versus Esav. Yeah, even after the eight, very good Shkayach. There's a beautiful netziv also on these lines. The Torah says, the story with the Be'eris, that Yitzhak first he lived in Groh, then he moved to Nachal Groh, and then he moved to Be'er Shava. So when he got to Be'er Shava, beautiful netziv, the Pasuk says, V'yal Misham Be'er Shava, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him, V'yayu Eiv Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him, and he told him, So Torah says, next pasuk, Vayivan Shom his Be'ach. He built him his Be'ach, Vayikra v'shem Hashem, and he publicized HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Vayet Shom HaHala, he pitched his tent. Vayikra Shom Avdi Yitzchak Be'er, and the Avdi Yitzchak dug a Be'er. So the Tziv points out, it's a beautiful order here. He did four things, Yitzchak Avinu, in this pasuk. The first thing, he just arrived in Be'er Shava. What was the first thing he did after HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him? The first thing was, V'yivan Shom his Be'ach. Even before he pitched his tent, he built him his Be'ach. V'yikra b'shem Hashem. And he advertised Hashem's name. Only then, V'yet Shom HaHalai. Only after he made him his Be'ach, V'yikra b'shem Hashem, then he pitched his tent. And fourth, V'yikra Shom Avdi Yitzchak Be'er. And then he was Kareh Be'er. Because by Yitzchak was paramount. He came to a new place. The first thing, even before he thought about pitching his tent, was Vayivan Shom HaHalei, Vayivan Shom HaHalei, to make him his Be'ach. When they opened the building again, but when they opened then the new Beis Medrash, he said, people live in beautiful houses, and a shul's got to be at least as beautiful. This is Yitzchak Avinu. Before he pitched his tent, he made the Mizbeach. His Kriya B'Shem Hashem was before he put up his tent. It's a story with Rav Aaron Belz in Tel Aviv, in his Beis Medrash, Tzchus Yogan Aleinu. He came to, one day the Beis Medrash organized the Sheva Brachas for whoever it was, and the Belz Rav came to Beis Medrash, and they decided they were going to daven Mincha before the Sheva Brachas, because it would be too late to daven afterwards. So somebody went to be the Shliach Tzibur for Mincha. So Belz Rav noticed that on the table, they had set the table for the Sheva Brachas, and there were beautiful silver candlesticks on the table. The Shliach Tzibur went to the Omud, and by the Omud there were old copper candlesticks. So he said that there's no good. On the table you have silver candlesticks, and by the Shliach Tzibur's Omud, Kavdus Hashem Be'urim, you have these old copper candlesticks. He said, at least for this Mincha, you should take the silver candlesticks, put them by the Omud, and then you can use them for the Sheva Brachas. Kavod for Rabbein Shleilem, the Vayikra B'Shem Hashem has to be before the Vayet Shama Haloi. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has an interesting diuk. He says it a couple of times. The time of the Brachas, we know, Yaakov Avinu was 63 years old, and his father was 123. Yitzchok says, he says, "Hine nozakanti lo yadati yomoisi. I don't know when I'm going to die." Zokt Rashi says, "Rashi, why was he worried he was going to die?" Says Rashi, when a person reaches within 5 years of his parents' death, so he has to worry, maybe he's going to die. So Yaakov Avinu knew his mother was Nifta 127, and he was 123. So he was worried he might be Nifta. The Mefarshim say later, I think the Mashal, very beautiful, because we know the brachas took place on Pesach. Yitzchak was born on Pesach, and tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is memalei, they die on the birthday. And Yitzchak knew that he might well die on his birthday, so he would actually, it wasn't done within 5 years, it was actually a day where he was likely to die if he would die, Mashal says. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, he says, Sarah was nifta when she was 127. So Chazal tell us, because she was, it was after that Akedah, and the Satan came to Sarah and said, do you know what happened? Your son Yitzchak was taken, he was bound in the Mizbeach, and Avraham Avinu took the knife, and she was shocked, so she was nifta. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, don't make a mistake. Don't think that Sarah would have lived longer and she was nifta because of the shock. Because if that was the case, why was Yitzchak worried? She was supposed to have lived longer. Because she was shocked at the Akedah, that's why she was nifta premature. So Yitzchak wouldn't have been worried that something's going to happen to him because she was nifta 127 years old, because she was only nifta because the Satan shocked her. And Amai says, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you see that she was nifta because she was supposed to be nifta at that age. Those are the years allotted for her. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it happen? It happened through the Satan giving her a shock. But it wasn't that she was nifta premature. And he says that's why the Pasuk says, Vayu Chai Sora. The Torah repeats Shnei Chayisara. It's a tremendous Yisoid in Hashkafa, this. Wherever a person is nifta from, of course a person does Averis, can bring on himself Noves, and a person, Lahavdu, does Mitzvahs, brings on himself Chaim. But when a person is nifta from something, that's just the way they're nifta. The amount of years that was allotted to her. There's a famous story which was publicized recently with I can't remember his first name. There was a bocher, he was called Wexler, and he was sent in the 1920s to Chevron Yeshiva because a representative had come to America, to Chicago, and he had persuaded this Mr. and Mrs. Wexler to send their son to Chevron. And he came to Chevron, and he was there, Nebuch 1929, for the pogroms, and he was stabbed to death very brutally by the Arabs. And I can't remember who it was, when he came, the next time he went collecting in America, he said he's not going to Chicago because he feels he didn't know how to face Mr. and Mrs. Wexler. He was the one who had sent their son to Yeshiva. He had advised him to send their son to Yeshiva, and he'd been killed there. What's he going to tell them? So he didn't go to Chicago, and he went to, I think he met him in Manhattan. He met this Mr. Wexler, happened to be in Manhattan, and he didn't know how to face him. He said he must apologize profusely for sending his son to Hebron. He says, look what happened. He was killed because of me, and he feels very guilty. So Mr. Wexler told him, Fakert, he says, the other way around, he says, we have to thank you. He said, my son was obviously destined to live for 20-something years. And if he would have stayed in Chicago, he would have gone to study, and he would have been nifter as a, who knows, as a, in the middle of studying a profession, in the middle of becoming whatever he would have become. He says, because of you, my son went to yeshiva, and he was nifter. He was nifter ben Torah, like Ben Yona says, a person who wants to sit and learn, he gets the schar as if he did what he wanted to do. So he says, Faket, he says, I'm grateful for the fact that he sent him there, because a person's amount of years are his amount of years, and Sarah was nifter because Sarah had to be nifter. Shnei Chai Sarah, these were her years, and that's why Yaakov Avinu was taka worried that he was coming within the 5 years. Finish off with a tremendous vort of the Al Shech HaKadosh. The Al Shech HaKadosh answered Pashta Kasha. Rivka sent Yaakov to get the brachas instead of Esav. Rivka Shemas, Rav Yonatan said she knew the Ruach HaKodesh, and she was the one who told Yaakov many rise. Yaakov really didn't want to go. He wasn't young. He was already 63, and she had to get him dressed, and she had to, so to speak, persuade him into it. So Yaakov says to his mother, "Vayomi Yaakov Rivka Imoi, Hein Esav Achi Ishsoi, Vanoichi Ishchala." He says, "Esav's a hairy person, and I'm smooth skinned. Ulayim Sheni Avi. If my father's going to touch me, Vayisi Beinov Kimtatea, Veivesi Olai Klal of Leibrach. My father's going to catch me out, and he's going to bring a klal and not a bracha." Vatoyim Leimoi, his mother responds to this, "Olai Kilelascha Bani." Don't worry, alaikul lascha b'ni, the curse will be on me, achshma b'kaili, v'leich kachli. Listen to my voice, v'leich kachli, and go and take this for me. Asked Al Shech HaKadosh, what was Yaakov worried about? He was worried Yaakov would touch him. Now Rivka had a plan in place. She had a plan in place, that she had these gedoy izim, and she was going to take the hair, and cover him with hair, and if he's covered with hair, so even if Yaakov feels him, even if Yitzchak feels him, he's going to feel the hair. And Tziv says, actually, that's why she took Shnei Gedoya Izim. Rashi says, one was for the Pesach, one was for Matamim. Turim says, one was for the Kalm Chagiga, Pesach and Chagiga. And Tziv says, because she needed two to cover him. She needed two animals to cover him. So if Yaakov's worried that Yitzchak's going to touch him, so the answer is, I'm giving you these skins, and even if he touches you, you're safe. Why didn't she mention at all about the plan? Only afterwards, it says that he brought Vatasim and Matamim. Then Vatikach Rivka speak the Esav and Argon Lachamudos Vesoris Gadoy Izim. Then afterwards she did it. But why didn't she tell him that that's what she's going to do? If he's worried about being caught, that's the answer. So the Ashik says no. Alshi says that was his shtadlus. The shtadlus was that yes, there's a worry he's going to touch you. Okay, we're going to do some shtadlus. His shtadlus is not foolproof, says the Alshi HaKadosh. His shtadlus is not foolproof. Anything can happen with his shtadlus. The Alshi HaKadosh says maybe the oil will fall off. Maybe Yitzchak will tell the difference between Sar Behem and Sar Adam. Maybe he'll be mamash mishpechozek. He'll really grab onto him, or maybe said he'll touch him on his forehead. His shadlus is not foolproof. Rivka was telling Yaakov, if you're worried about being caught, the main point is nothing will happen because she said if you're not doing it for your own hanah, if you're not doing it just to be menatzeich your brother, you're doing it because I'm telling you to do it. If you do it because I'm telling you to do it, the rule is shluch mitzvah einam nizakim. So she said to him, "Atom le'ima." Of course, we're going to do a shtadlis. That's not the main point. If you do it for me, if you do it l'shem shemaim, if you're doing it because that's what I'm telling you to do, you're not doing it for your own benefits, then you'll be okay. Shtadlis is a shtadlis, but the main point is not the shtadlis. The main point is, if you do it l'shem shemaim, you get siyata d'shmaya, and that has to be a yid's attitude towards everything, whatever a person does. Whether it's in health, in business, whatever it is, the main point is not the shadlis. The main point is a person does what he has to do. He does it l'shem shemayim, then he gets siyata d'shmaya. You've got to do shadlis, but that's a side point. She didn't even mention the shadlis to him. As I teach in Avos Torah in the morning, we've got half term now. There's a very sweet story. A few months ago, they did the Purim raffle like all Moses do, and the prize, I think, was £1,200. And there was a local boy from here. So each ticket, I think, sells for £5. And if a boy goes round, so a lot of people don't buy tickets, they give 50p a pound. So if the boy collects £5, so he can put a ticket in his own name. From a few donations, he can buy a ticket. So this boy, a local boy, so he did a lot of collecting, and he had enough money to buy quite a few tickets in his own name. So he sat with his father, and he says, "Daddy, tell me some needy families which we know. I'm going to put tickets in their names." Very special, could have put in his own name. So his father sat down with him, and he said, "Yeah, put for this one, for that one." And one of them was his brother-in-law in Kiryat Sefer. Brother-in-law, large family, very low income, and they put a ticket in his name. True enough, a week after Purim, they did the draw, and this family, Kiryat Sefer, won the £1,200. The school phones them up and said, "You won £1,200. They said, "What? Who, what, when, where? We didn't buy a ticket." They said, "No, your nephew, it was his uncle, your nephew bought a ticket for you. Give him £1,200. I was very touched. A special boy, give away his own ticket for someone else and sit down with his father. Extremely special. So I phoned the father. You know, you should see a lot of nachas, such a nice boy. So he says, "I'll tell you the second half of the story." He says, "My sister-in-law is a ganenet, like many young women are. She looks after kids in Kiryat Sefer. And it's coming Pesach. And she said, there's one person who owes a lot of money. One person who hasn't paid for quite a few months, they owe us a lot of money. And we also need the money. And people keep telling my wife, you know, you've got to push them. They owe you money, so you've got to push them for the money. They owe it, and he worked for them. But my wife says, no, I can't. I know they don't have money. They're not bad people. That's why they're not trying to get out of it. As soon as they have, they'll give. I can't ask them for money. They don't have. If Baruch Hashem wants to send me money, he'll send me money. And that's what happened. The Rebbe Shalom sent the money. She didn't want to squeeze them for money, and the Rebbe Shalom knew exactly where she was and sent them more money than she was owed. If a person views the work as a shtadlis, so that's the primary thing is the Rebbe Shalom. The shtadlis is a shtadlis. Alayk el losch bani. If you do it l'shem shemayim, then it's not about the shtadlis. She didn't even mention that. It's about the siyata d'shmaya. So Be'ez Hashem, like we started off with learning how little Esav valued the mitzvahs, in contrast how Yaakov valued each dover ruchni, he gave away so much money. Again, with this lesson of ruchnis before Gashmias, when Yitzchak arrived in Be'er Sheva, continuing with the living taka, knowing that it's not a person who gets destined amount of years, like Rabbi Kamenetsky said, it wasn't the shock which killed her. And like we finished off, to live a life of realization, it's not the shtadlis, it's the siyata d'shmaya. The shtadlis is, like the Chovos HaVavos says, is a tax. And Be'ez Hashem, we take these lessons on board, and we've got the genes of the Avos HaKadoshim in us, and we should bezoicha Be'ez Hashem to fulfill our potential. Shkoyach. Hey.